when you're in the same building and you're hearing the voices of people beside you raised in worship, and you're sensing the presence of the Spirit moving in hearts while the pastor delivers a message that hits home. It's not just about me. And our world, our culture is so focused on me. It's consumerism. What's good for me? Do I like the worship? Is the pastor making me think about my life? And we need to get out of that as a church.
Between the Grooves is hosted by James Curtis, music director and morning man in the Greater Toronto Area on Joy Radio, and Aisha Woods, Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, and musician. Together, they talk with artists and industry insiders to discover our connection between music and faith. You can connect with us on Facebook or X at Between Grooves and on Instagram at Between Grooves Pod. Now, here's James and Aisha.
Hey, James, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing, Aisha?
I'm doing good. What episode are we today?
I think we're at 302. 302.
All right.
Justine says
all
we're
right.
at 302. Just so everyone knows, you're on the phone right now. We were trying to do our, you know, fancy-dancy little connection thing with you being in Orlando, me being in Toronto, and we had some issues. And so the backup plan, of course, is getting you on the phone, which always seems to work anyways.
So. I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah.
I guess I'll see on my phone bill next month.
That's right. I would say send me the bill, but no, please don't. Come on, you must get free long distance in North America on your phone?
I do.
Okay.
Whew. Yeah.
Because I thought you would actually send me the bill. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, good. Anyways, welcome to Between the Grooves, another conversation that we want to share with you on this week's episode. And this is a guy that I saw for the first time, heard of him for the first time at the Covenant Awards. The Covenant Awards, of course, being the Canadian version of the Dove Awards that you would see in the U.S., recognizing Canadian Christian artists. And there's a whole bunch of different categories. And he actually walked away with one of the Covenant Awards last November 2023.
That's so very cool.
And I had never heard of him before, you know, given the fact that I work in Christian radio, you would think I know all these people, but surprisingly, I don't. But I was able to connect with him a bit online after the Covenant Awards and saw some of the stuff he was doing. He's been doing some collaborations. And I guess his claim to fame, from what I understand, is he's taken a lot of scripture and put it to music. And you don't see
it. You can never go wrong.
You can never go wrong. And it's somewhat unique in the sense that, you know, artists very often want to put their own lyrics together, spend a lot of time doing that and putting the music together, or vice versa. And he's taken the approach where he wants to take scripture and put that to music. And, you know, you probably couldn't come up with better lyrics.
I'm telling you.
Right?
They are original.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And they're beautiful and they make sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Every bit of it.
So we are having a conversation on Between the Grooves with Jason Silver. Nervous. I'm thinking, I'm more nervous that he's going to hang up because of all the problems we've had.
Okay.
I'm nervous because I'm not very good at like talking. Whenever I've been on podcasts and stuff before, I have no idea what to say, and I say stupid things. I'm like, oh, man.
You know what's
terrible?
It's interesting because Jason sent me a note saying that he doesn't feel he's very eloquent. And I'm thinking, here's a songwriter. I mean, you've got to be more eloquent than me.
Oh, my gosh.
That's maybe the reason that I use scripture for the lyrics of my song.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah, it's safer that way. That's right.
Yeah.
One of the descriptions on your bio says that you're a pipe smoker. Now, if you tell me that you use Captain Black tobacco, I will be hanging out with you a whole lot. That's what my late father smoked. Love that sweet smell. Yeah.
Once in a while, I do like it too.
Yeah. Okay. So whenever you're smoking the Captain Black, you let me know and we're going to hang out for a while. How's that?
Perfect. Sounds great.
And it also says that you're a philosopher, which really goes hand in hand with pipe smoking, doesn't it?
Yeah, I like to kind of just relax and contemplate. You know, I love to go for walks in the woods and just look at nature and stuff like that. We have a group of friends here in my area. We call the Holy Smokers, and we get together once a month and smoke our pipes and hang out.
I love it. The Holy Smokers.
That's great. That's awesome.
Do y'all ride motorcycles also?
No. A couple of them have motorcycles, but we don't all come every month. But when we're there, we enjoy, whether we're sitting around a fire or hanging out in someone's garage, just share some tobacco, talk about our families or things we're struggling with, just try to keep it real. And
That's nice. I think
community.
It's the community that you build from that. And it's also I think when you have something like, for me, it's coffee. I can't, you know, right now I've got a coffee in front of me right now, but I prefer having a coffee sitting across the table with somebody or sitting in someone's garage, just chatting. You know, that to me it's the coffee. I'm not a smoker, but if I were to smoke,
it'd
be a
prop, isn't it? It's something to have in your hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Source of warmth. And I get that.
Yeah.
I like coffee too.
Okay. Well, there you go. Coffee and a pipe. There you go.
Wait, Jason, do you play instruments?
I play a few instruments. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are they?
Piano and guitar, bass, drums, flute, trumpet, whistles.
Oh, good.
Basically, if it's an instrument, I can play it usually. I'm not very good.
He started with saying a few instruments,
well,
and it just starts rhyming them all off, you know?
Well, I did. You know, that's part of the reason I was trying to just avoid the question, because I play a lot of instruments.
Right.
That's fun. Yeah.
Do you play all the instruments on any of your recordings?
Yeah, I play instruments on my recordings. Sometimes, you know, there's a student right now that I have co-oping with me. He wants to be a worship leader someday. And so he hangs out in my studio with me and participates in some of my recordings and so on. And on a couple songs ago that I released, like a month ago or so, he played the electric guitar solo in it. And I have some other friends who will, you know, sometimes add some drums to a part for me or whatever, just to give it a little bit more interest, because when I do everything and I'm sort of the source of all the ideas in a song, it can make it one dimensional. So I try to get other people involved once in a while.
Sure. Otherwise, all your songs would sound very similar, right?
Yeah. Which I'm afraid sometimes they do. I don't know.
is all the music you do scripture?
It is now. Yeah. The first stuff I was doing, I was one of these lovesick teenagers who really was afraid of girls and wrote a lot of love songs for girls that never knew that I was, maybe some of them knew, I don't know, but I never told them I wrote them songs. And mm-hmm. So I would release those songs before I wrote them before I got married. But at one point my wife said, you know, you should put all the songs together and start releasing them. And so I did do that. I wrote a lot of songs, like love song type stuff. But then about 2013 or so, I started putting scripture and liturgy to music and releasing that on YouTube, just because I thought, well, maybe some other people will benefit from it. I was writing it for the church that I was the music director of at the time, and I just thought I'd share it. And that's kind of what got me started on that. Yeah.
And you've done recently I'm not sure if this has been a long-standing thing with you, but recently you've been doing a lot of collaborations as well.
Yeah, after the Covenant Awards, I got to know a bunch of other musicians. I developed the Covenant Awards website for like voting for awards and stuff. And so I would get help support, like requests from people logging in, and they're like, I can't figure out how to upload my songs and stuff like that. And I tried to build some relationships with these people, because I really believe, first of all, sisters in Christ. And, you know, we can bless one another through our gifts. And I just thought, I'm going to start reaching out to these people and see if they want to do collaborations with me and be featured in some of my music and stuff. So that's been a fun adventure.
Can we go back to the whole programming element? I know it said that in your bio, and I recall sending a note through the Covenant Awards website at one point. So I guess it would have been you that responded. I didn't put two and two together till just now, just so you know.
Right.
You come from a programming background, or has that just been a hobby for you?
I've always had kind of a systematic brain. I think that's been my way of trying to understand it, that music is a system and computers are systems. And I just kind of naturally understand these systems. And so, when I was in grade 9 or 10, I started on, you know, computers when they first came to the school, and wanted to write my own software. And just kind of kept doing that over the years.
Speaking of the Covenant Awards, you walked away with Worship Song of the Year at the 2023 Worship Covenant Awards, or Worship Artist of the Year. Okay.
Yeah. Congratulations. That's pretty big.
Well, thank you. It was an honor and humbling. I think there were a lot people more deserving of it than I was, but I really appreciated the votes and that people thought that I deserved that honor. So
at the end of the day, the people that are voting are your peers, the people that even in that category, but in various other categories and whatnot as well. So obviously you're deserving if you got it, right?
Yep. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's not like you swung the vote with your programming or anything.
Right.
Sorry. Now there's this doubt in people's mind, you know?
Exactly. Well, I was a little worried about that. Yeah.
He just happened to win, you know, Worship Artist of the Year. Go figure, eh?
Don't get us started on that down here in the U.S.
Voting. The whole thing.
And voting, yeah. There's a U.S. election coming soon, yeah.
So. Yes, sir.
Well, let's not talk about that then.
Okay. No.
So, are you on staff at the church that you are in Harrowsmith, Ontario?
Yeah, that's right. I'm half-time.
Oh, half-time. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is that half-time?
What does that look like?
Well, no, half-time the impression I get when somebody says they're, you know, part-time at any church is part-time salary for full-time work.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, isn't that true? Is that true for you, Jason? I have experienced that,
but that is not the case here. They are an amazing team of supporters in what I do there, in writing music and in ministering in the community, interactions with students, all that kind of stuff. I'm really blessed by that church.
That's awesome. So you lead worship at the church. Do you anything else besides lead worship? In your part-time...
Was that air quotes? Was that air quotes I just saw?
I have, on Wednesday nights, I have free music lessons at the church. So it's just whoever wants to come can bring an instrument. And because I teach all the instruments, I can kind of help out. It's hard when they're, you know, brand new and they don't know anything about the instrument, but if they know a few chords, then we kind of start off with some simple songs and we basically do worship for an hour and a half. So that's part of what I do.
That's great.
I schedule the musicians. We have maybe 40 or 50 different musicians. I don't know if it's that many.
Maybe 30, something like that.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Like an orchestra.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I guess part of the benefit of being a music teacher is, as I'm interacting with students, I'll say, you know, it might be nice if you had an opportunity to play with other people.
Right.
And sometimes people are like, well, yeah, I wish, but where? And
yeah.
Say, why don't you come and play in my church? And regardless of their place in their journey to know Christ, I like to make an opportunity for them to connect and begin in service, because often it's in service that you start to see the impact of God's Spirit working through you and working through the people around you. And a number of those people have become Christians and joined the church, been baptized. So it's quite an exciting process. And, you know, I've been doing music about 25 years or 30 years. So once you kind of get past that point where it's a struggle and the music doesn't sound very good, once you've got a bit of, what's the word they use? But at a certain point, lots of other people start coming to the church because they want to be part of the music team.
And right. So.
Sure.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. If you even look at
influence.
Yeah. And if you look at a lot of the contestants on these singing competitions like American Idol and whatnot, you hear the stories about how they got their start in the church.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah. So,
well,
I mean,
majority.
You giving them the opportunity is amazing. And quite frankly, you've got, like you say, 30 plus people that you can rely on or schedule so that everybody gets a break and they're not overworked either.
Yeah,
that's true. That's like a dream come true, to tell you the truth. I was going to ask Jason, when you said that you're teaching music, are you teaching music theory to the people that are coming for the worship team?
When it's appropriate, when it's possible. I have about 35 students or so at the church. There's only about 6 or 7 who come, and often it's not really conducive to theory. But once in a while, I'll explain, you know, some theory. I'll be like, well, you know, the difference between a major and a minor, or how to find a sus chord, or how inversions work, and things like that. But it's very sort of elemental.
Okay.
So, do you have a significant theory background, or are you a play by ear type musician?
I have a significant theory background.
Okay. So
that's awesome.
I admire that. Only because I never had the discipline when I was a kid and I took piano lessons. It was like, I just want to play. I don't want to learn all this other background stuff. And yet the background stuff is critical if you really want to be getting good at it.
And it's really fun. Like, I teach theory to my students because sort of taught to students in a way that doesn't connect all the dots. It's just like, here's some information you need. But when you're trying to find a chord that works, like sometimes my students are writing songs. I teach songwriting to some of my students. And so, you know, I'll explain to them how the circle of fifths works, or, you know, there's three minors and three majors in every scale, and now diminished, and here's how it works. And, you know, it kind of all draws together, and it's the process of songwriting or performance or whatever.
Aisha, did you understand all that? That just went over my head. You know, I'll be honest.
You know what? And I'm surprised today, with that being said, that there was something that we talked about that was like French for you.
Yeah, because normally it's the other way around, right? Yeah, yeah. Well, I know the expressions. I've heard the expressions, but I don't know what they all mean. You know, when you talk about the fifths and the diminished and like, I can probably guess at
chords.
I can probably guess at one what some of that stuff means and what it does. But that's about it. And you know, and I'm good with that. Honestly, I'm good with that.
I hear you. Listen, I like to tell people that stuff's above my pay grade.
Right. Exactly. There you go.
Understanding of it, but I don't use it as much. And I find that in worship music, particularly the worship music that is being played today.
You just need to know 3 or 4 notes for that, right?
Yep. Pretty much. 1, 4,
yeah.
5,
yeah.
And
yeah.
6,
yeah.
Maybe a 2.
I like to push the limits a little bit on that.
Major
sevenths
here.
And 6 chords and stuff like that. It just makes the music more interesting and
it does.
Multidimensional.
So Jason, you went to Bible, you didn't go to bridal college. You went to Bible college, correct?
That's yep.
You met your wife after graduating. Is
after
what I'm getting
graduating,
at. Right?
Yeah,
right.
In Saskatoon. Yeah.
And were you basic?
The bridal after Bible.
after Bible, not bridal. Right. Because my brother's a pastor, and he went to bridal college. I mean, he didn't meet his wife there, but he was still going to college when he was going out there. So.
Yeah.
Did you enter full time ministry as far as a church is concerned? After that, like, is that basically been your career?
This basically been my career. I went to a church called Lakeview Free Methodist Church in Saskatoon after I graduated, and I was there part time again. It was 20 hours a week or something as assistant music director or programming director, and I just filled in the gaps while a guy went on vacation, basically. And I stayed there for I think about a year or so. I can't quite remember how long I was there, and then I went to a Christian Missionary Alliance church for a year. I think that was full time, but it's hard to remember now. That was a long time ago. And then down to New Jersey, where I was at a seeker-targeted church closely associated with Willow Creek in Chicago. And I was there for 5 years. And then I went to Butternut Creek Church in Kingston, Ontario. And I was there for a year, I think. It was sort of in between while I was sort of volunteering there. To Philpott Memorial Church in Hamilton, and I was there for 9 years. And
Okay, the church you were at for 9 years, was it part-time?
Was it part-time? That's a good question.
No,
That's a really good question.
Okay,
it was a good job.
All right.
Yeah. When I was in New Jersey, the church there hired me full-time, but they only paid me half-time. But their hope was that as they made more money, that they would increase my salary, which they did every year. So
it's not always the hope.
No. By the time I left, we went from 60 people at that church to 600 in 5 years.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, their idea was that you staff to grow. So if you want a church of 600 people, then you have 5 or 6 staff members full time, and you get there.
Well, that's that's one piece of wisdom right there that you don't often hear, because I think, Aisha, I told you this story before when my parents were living in British Columbia and I went to visit, and they had this really, really small little puny church. They owned the building, but the church only had, you know, if they had 30 people on a Sunday morning, they were lucky. And and they were, one of the guys, I think he was one of the deacons or one of the elders, and I was just there on vacation. I was helping out with their audio or something like that. And they were asking me, you know, what would I do? Because I was involved in the youth group in the church that I attended. I was one of the leaders. We ran the youth group without a youth pastor for a while, and we were able to maintain numbers and everything else. So he was asking me, so, you know, how can we grow our youth group? And I told him, hire a youth pastor. And he says, but we don't have any youth. And I said, exactly.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So it's a good, I think that's a great philosophy for a church to have. And it's also exciting to see it actually works.
Yeah, it worked in that instance.
Yes,
but, you know, there are some warnings in scripture about seeds that grow on the path and they spring up really quickly, and then the roots don't go deep.
Right.
And so this church actually doesn't even exist anymore because its roots weren't very deep and ended up kind of imploding. So,
right. Yeah. What are you finding in today's world post-pandemic as far as church attendance?
A full church with lots of young families. We're seeing new people coming to Christ. It's quite exciting at our church. I just feel so honored to be able to be a part of ministry there. And our pastor is amazing. He's a strong leader and a loving man. And it's just wonderful.
Are you surprised?
That's a blessing.
Well, I am a little bit, because I've worked for a lot of churches, and I don't know whether I've ever had a pastor who was on my side, so to speak, before. So it's nice to have someone who has my back, and you know, we agree on lots of things, and yet he challenges me. I'm not saying that, you know, I can't accept challenges to grow, but it's nice to know that someone truly loves you and is behind the ministry and has some of the same values. So yeah, it's been
and obviously working in an environment that, again, post pandemic is seeing some consistency, some growth, and
really it is
whatever, because I know. Immediately following the pandemic, the cry from churches was, you know, where is everybody? You know, attendance had dropped, and you could almost predict that was happening with services happening online, because you really don't know. I mean, you might get some feedback from...
It's hard to gauge.
It's hard to gauge, you know, and you, we got all these people listening from all around the world. Well,
I think what happened
is... Are they your regular congregation, or the people from all around the world, right?
I think what happened is that initially people were like, wow, I don't need to get up early in the morning. I can lay in bed and have pancakes and watch church on TV. And that's fun for a little while. Then you start missing the fellowship, which is an important part of worship.
Like,
don't forsake gathering together with your brothers and sisters. Yep. So, When you're in the same building and you're hearing the voices of people beside you raise in worship, and you're sensing the presence of the Spirit moving in hearts while the pastor delivers a message that hits home. It's not just about me, and our world, our culture is so focused on me. It's consumerism. What's good for me? Do I like the worship? Is the pastor, you know, making me think about my life? And we need to get out of that as a church and remember the church is about being together in a body. We are a body. We're not individuals using our gifts together, worshiping together. I think people are starting to realize that. I hope that's true for lots of churches.
Yeah, I would agree with you. The other challenge, though, the ongoing challenge in any church is to recognize that it's not going to be perfect. And the church was never meant to be a group of perfect people.
No, it's true.
You know, like this
hospital for the sick.
Yeah, it's a hospital for the sick. Everybody's at a different stage in their life.
Yeah.
And once you get to the point of recognizing that and accepting that, I think then you've got the potential for growth.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you have situations in churches where you have your little cliques happening. You've got your people that have been there for a long time, and this is the way we do things. And if that's the way you do things, then, you know, good luck in 5-10 years from now.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
would you rather change or die or change, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about your music then. I mean, you've been spending a lot of time taking scripture, putting it to music. I understand. Did you do the entire Psalms?
Yeah, I've done all the Psalms word for word. There's a few
in the
beginning.
Do you get the writing credits for that?
I wish. Yeah.
That's
no.
Public domain.
I know.
When I first started, I was following the lectionary. So whatever the scripture for the day was at the church we were at would be the one I would put to music. Sometimes the lectionary will take verses that were just a little bit difficult or didn't seem to fit well with the theme. I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe the whole psalm on its own was too long, so they take a portion of it. But after a year or so, I started realizing I don't want to just do a part of the psalm. I want to do the whole psalm. And so...
Wow.
Not all of it have I done, but I have done a good portion of all the Psalms.
You put out a request recently on one of the Gospel Music Association of Canada's Facebook pages or something, requesting artists and collaborations because you wanted to, I guess, change up or at least have some of the songs sounding a little different, not always the same. So I guess that was all post Covenant Awards as well. And
that's right, yeah.
So given the Covenant Awards, given the fact that you won a Covenant Awards, who have you collaborated with since then?
So the Book of Galatians is what I'm doing right now. I've got all the songs written. There's 28 songs, and the first 9 are recorded. And most of them have the vocals added. So I've Nathan Keys was on the first one, and that's Galatians 1:3-5. And David Bracken was the one that came out this last Saturday. That's Galatians 1:6-9. And I'm not going to give away the names of who's coming up, but I hope people will stay tuned, maybe become a subscriber of my YouTube channel and
there you go.
Check things out. Yeah.
Shameless plug. I'm not mad at you one bit. That's cool. Now,
yeah,
question
it's fun.
For you. When you're doing these songs of the scripture, are you sticking with one particular version or are you using multiple versions?
That's a great question. And it was something I didn't really know how to handle in the beginning. So all of the Psalms are done in the New Revised Standard Version, the NRSV.
Okay.
Then I thought, you know, I'm going to maybe pick different every book. I'll use a different version. So for the Galatians album, I'm using the New Century Version. Now, the Galatians were Gauls, right? They were ancient Celts.
Yes.
Decided to do the whole album in an Irish Celtic style. Now, I know that's not fashionable right now.
Wow.
Celtic music
that's
was popular
right.
in the 90s or something, but I'm bringing out the penny whistles and the accordions and fiddles and really trying to create some fun music that is as if it was written to the Celts in ancient
I
Gaul.
I love it.
Yeah,
you know why? Because the word is timeless, so it's going to translate.
Amen.
It'll do well. That's exciting.
I hope so.
Yeah, and why not have different variations too, right?
Yeah.
Like why is it all got to sound the same? It's like listening, you know, the if you listen to the Bible, you can get the audiobook of the Bible type thing.
Yes.
And you know, my wife listens to that once in a while. And every time I, you know, we'll walk in the room and she's listening to it, it's like, it's the same voice over and over and over again. And
yes,
it's very soothing. It's very soothing.
Uh-huh.
Don't get me wrong, but it's the same voice. Like, why not spice it up and add some other voices or conversations, get a female voice in there as well.
What a great idea.
Sure.
Something different. And that's basically what you're doing with scripture and putting it to music and then having the different musical styles as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Let me know when you do the, I'm sorry. No, I was going to say, let us know when you do the message version.
That's a great version, eh? It's so moving.
And you mentioned the various styles that you've done. What styles have they been? Like, are we talking rock, pop, country? You know, what have you done?
There's 160 songs for the 150 Psalms. So in I was getting desperate for some of them, like just getting, I have to do some other styles. So like I would kind of copy a bit of a U2 style for one song, or maybe Coldplay for another. You know, there's Irish Celtic styles, and you name it. Like if there's a style, no rap or anything, but if there was anything that was...
Well, you could do rap.
Just like, yeah, I guess rap. I could.
You could do rap for the Proverbs.
Yeah, that's true. Or maybe, you know, Ecclesiastes or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
You gotta do metal, okay? When you get to Revelation.
Revelation is metal.
Oh, I'm liking that. That's a great idea.
That, you know, you just, Aisha, but that's an awesome idea.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where my audience would take it.
That's right. That'll knock some sense into people. There you go.
Yeah. What about Leviticus? Like when I get to a Leviticus, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been avoiding it.
Have you?
I have. I've got lots of scripture songs from all over the Bible, but nothing from Leviticus yet.
Wow.
Have you done Revelation?
I've done a few songs from Revelation. Yeah. I haven't done the whole book. For the whole books, I've done the Psalms, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. So Colossians isn't released yet. I've only released a few songs from Colossians, but they're all written. So yeah, I've done all the letters, those letters, and a few from, you know, Romans and Hebrews and so on.
But. Aisha, I'm going with your idea. I think the next slew of songs that Jason needs to work on is Revelation metal.
That is really cool.
I don't know if I could.
But you probably could. It's finding the musicians in the Christian community. I think you deal just out of, because it's easy, deal with a lot of Canadian Christian musicians. And I'm not sure that there's a whole bunch of metal people. In fact, I don't even think there's a metal category in the Gospel Music Association of Canada as far as the Covenant Awards is concerned. I don't think there is.
There
is rock, but not metal.
Yeah, probably fall into the same category if you were wanting to.
Maybe.
Be noticed, but yeah, it's not really the same style,
right? Completely different when you start yelling. You don't
drop D tuning.
That's right. You don't actually have to have the ability to sing for metal.
No.
Sorry, did I say that out loud? I'm probably gonna get.
I'm actually amazed that. To be honest, though, sometimes those musicians are really, really talented. Like you can be fooled by the noise of it. There's a lot of complex harmony or, you know, strange chord progressions and so on that you might be surprised.
Yeah.
Sure.
And the ability to work with effects very well.
AI.
On their voices. Oh, here we go. It's the whole AI conversation again. Yeah, just get the computer to do it.
Yeah.
Jason, thanks for hanging with Aisha and I. You see, we were just having a conversation.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's what
I
we
didn't
like
feel
to do.
Too nervous.
Good.
It was
good.
Okay.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So good to talk to you.
I appreciate you guys being interested in what I do and reaching out to me. It's humbling, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity to share what I do with the people who listen to your podcast. God bless you guys.
You too. Thanks, Jason.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there's the music. That's Justine telling us that it's time for us to go.
All right.
Sadly, time for us. Don't cry. It's okay. It's okay. Hey, until next week, thanks for tuning in. And we've got over 300 episodes of Between the Grooves wherever you get your podcast. So have a listen when you're bored. And we'll catch you next week.
I love it. Have a listen when you're bored.
's for listening to Faith Strong Today's Between the Grooves podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, would you consider sharing it with your friends, rating our podcast, or giving us some love on your socials to your amazing friends and followers will only help us reach more people. We'd also love to hear from you and share your feedback in an upcoming episode. Send your video or written message to Aisha and James on Facebook or X at Between Grooves and on Instagram at Between Grooves Pod. Or email us anytime, hello@faithstrongtoday.com.